welcome. This is God is in This, the podcast ministry of Bethany First Church, United Church of Christ in Bethany, Connecticut. For more than 270 years, our congregation has gathered in covenant to worship, grow, and serve, grounded in faith and open to the Spirit's movement in our time. As an open and affirming church, we believe every person is created in the image of God and fully welcomed here. Across every race, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, ability, and background. Each episode features a Sunday sermon from our pastor, the Reverend Jonathan Paradis, or from a guest preacher. A message rooted in Scripture, shaped by justice and alive to the questions of today. Whether you're walking the dog, commuting to work, folding laundry, or simply pausing for a breath, we're grateful you've chosen to spend this time with us. Here at Bethany First Church, we believe God shows up, not only in the sanctuary, but in the struggle, in the doubt, in the joy, and in the everyday. So wherever you are, and however you're listening, welcome. This is God is in This.
It's great to be here with you, worshiping this morning. Thank you so much for inviting me. Now, so let us open our hearts as we hear the word of God together. The reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning with verse 13 to verse 20. You are the salt of the earth, but its salt has lost its taste. How can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled under feet. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In this show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, President Minister the Reverend Fred Rogers spent 33 years, from 1968 to 2001, being parts of the lives of thousands of children and adults alive in the United States. Throughout the episodes, Mr. Rogers and his cast focused on teaching his viewers how to be better humans, and of course, how to be better neighbors. Growing up in Colombia, I didn't know about Mr. Rogers until I was an adult and moved here. It was way after the show had ended and way after Mr. Rogers had passed away. But I wish that I had known about him earlier, because even as an adult, his words in the show have taught me such valuable lessons. And I know what an important influence it has been for the lives of many people I know. As many have told me, throughout the show, Mr. Rogers told them about love, about kindness, about emotional intelligence, about inclusion, and understanding that there are people who are different from us and that that is beautiful. And friends have also told me how Mr. Rogers taught them about themselves, about how important and loved they are, regardless of how they looked, or regardless of how good they were at doing things. Mr. Rogers reminded them, and still reminds us, that we are loved and valued, not because of the things we can do, but just because of who we are. He didn't use explicit religious language in his show, despite being a Presbyterian minister. I think that's because he wanted to be available for everyone. But I do think that Jesus' teachings were very much on his mind and in his heart as he spoke to children all across the country. And when teaching about our values and self-worth, I think he had in mind something like today's passage. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Friends, in the passage I just read today, notice that Jesus is not really giving a command. He's not saying, be salt and be light, or you should be salt and light. Jesus is saying, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Already, period. And then he goes on to explain that if salt and light are not used for the purpose, well, then they are kind of wasted. Today's passage is part of a larger story. It comes as the second part of the Sermon on the Mount, a part in the Gospel that many consider a summary of Jesus' ministry and a holy vision of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. In the Sermon on the Mount, we get the Beatitudes: blessed are the poor, the hungry, the peacemakers. And after that beautiful and often surprising list, Jesus tells us, plural, all of us, you all are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. This entire passage has to do with what it means to be a disciple. By being called salt and light, we have been named and claimed and called to follow Jesus, even when we think that we don't have what it takes. Because really, this is not about me or you or any of us. This is about embracing who we already are and trusting God in that process. What Jesus is comparing people to here is not a small thing, like we heard in the children's message this morning. You see, soul and light are two things that are very valuable, even though we take them for granted. In our modern world, we walk into a room and flip a switch and we have light. And for salt, honestly, we mostly think of it in negative terms, like when we need to watch our salt consumption. But just imagine how much more difficult our lives would be if we didn't have readily available sources of light. I think we all can imagine from history, history lessons, world stories, our lifestyle would be very different if we didn't have access to electricity the way we do. And so, we depend on it so much. I think it is really cold in the snow and winter. We are very mindful of it. Salt melts ice. We use it to preserve food. We use it to season our meals. Just imagine how bland they would be if we had to choose where to put it and when to put it. You are salt and light, Jesus says. And even the fact that without light from the sun, there would not be life on earth, and that salt is essential for the functioning of the human body, speaks volumes about the importance of this parable. And here is why I love it. Jesus is not telling this to the religious leaders. He's not telling this to people with a theology degree. He's not telling this even to just his disciples. He's telling this to a crowd of common folk who have gathered by the hundreds to listen to him, desperate for healing, hope, and good news. He's telling this crowd, a crowd that includes poor people, the disenfranchised people living under the empire, the ones dealing with chronic disease, the ones who have been marginalized and abused, the ones who have been forgotten, the ones who think they are not enough. Jesus is telling them, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are an essential part of the kingdom of God. And life, as God intends, would be impossible without you. Let me read a few verses from Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible, The Message, because he puts it beautifully. From The Message, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. Friends, Jesus, after he reminds the crowd who they are to God, he doesn't stop here, because it is one thing to claim your identity, and it is another thing to live by it. Now that the crowds are reminded of who they are, that they are the salt seasoning and the light of the world, Jesus calls them to bring out the God flavors and the God colors in this world, to be the disciples they are called to be, and to participate in the kingdom of God here on earth. And for that, friends, we do need to get out of our own way. And we have to trust that who God made us to be is enough for our Creator to do great things. We are salt and light when we choose to live and embody faith by doing justice, loving kindness, and working humbly with our God, like the prophets say. By holding on to hope in stubborn ways, even when the world feels hopeless, because of our faith and trust in God's steadfast love, like we learn from the Psalms. We are salt and light by caring for the widow and the sick, for the trans kid and the refugee, and by loving God with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves, that we are commanded. We are salt and light when our actions, as small as they might be, bring joy, hope, and love to someone who needs them. We are salt and light when our actions remind others that they are loved by God. Living in body faith means believing that the arc of the moral universe does bend toward justice, like Dr. King said, and that we are enough and valuable just as we are. And because of that, we can do great things, like Mr. Lowry said. Friends, God has given us a gift. And it takes all of us to listen to God's call in our lives. The call to be light that highlights God's colors and the soul that brings out God's flavors, especially in these dark, divided, and uncertain times. All of us have a spark of the divine inside of us. Knowing that should make a difference, because this great gift comes with the responsibility to live a life that points toward God and God's goodness. So let me ask you, friends, how are you living into your identity as salt and light, as a community and as individuals? How are you doing that? And if you cannot think of an answer right now, that's okay too. How about you start today? Think of something small that you can do to be salt and light. Do not lose your saltiness. Don't become bland by the weight of the world. And don't dim your light. Don't hide it. We already have all we need to live in a way that reflects God's favors and colors and goodness and love. And so let us be great to live out this identity every single day of our lives.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany First Church. If you're nearby, we'd love to welcome you in person. Worship is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. right here at 511 Amity Road in Bethany, Connecticut. To learn more about our ministries, upcoming events, or ways to support our mission, visit bethanyfirstchurch.org or follow us on social media at Bethany First Church. We're so glad you joined us, and we hope something in this message stays with you. Until next time, may you walk with courage, live with compassion, and always remember, God is in this.